I'm going to read the conclusion of my sermon and then preach a while. That way I can quit whenever I want to or get tired. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The word unspeakable here means never ending. You know, sometimes we think, well, words just cannot describe God and his goodness to his people and all the things that he does for us. It's just not possible that we could ever find words to describe it. Well, this word that's translated unspeakable here simply means that you could use every word of the human language, whether it's Spanish or English or German or French. If you could take all the words that human beings have ever spoken and line them up in a line, you still would not have described God's gift to us. Adjectives never end. They just go on and on and on forever. It can be talked about. We can talk of greatness and love and indescribable, all these things, but it's just language that could never, ever end. Thanks be unto God for a gift that cannot be defined because there aren't enough words in the universe to describe it. And all of that comes as a conclusion to what we've been studying, and that is our gift to God, our giving to God. So we'll look at these verses this morning, and I think that I want to have one more Sunday sort of sum up what we've said and to introduce perhaps some other concepts that I have not discussed with you until at this particular time. Chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, verse 1, for it's touching, or that is considering, the ministering to the saints, that is those poor people in Jerusalem, it is superfluous for me to write to you. That is, we don't need any more things to be written, but I'm just going to remind you of all the things that I've said. It really is not necessary, is what Paul is saying. For I know the forwardness of your mind. I know the forwardness of your mind. And that forwardness means eager, goodwill, that you've done this in the proper spirit, or you will be doing it because you have an anxious will to do it. For which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. And the word boast has a meaning to it, or a connotation to it, that sort of makes us think, well, we shouldn't be bragging about things. But what Paul means is, I have written to the churches in Macedonia, or in my correspondence with them, that at Achaia was ready a year ago. And your zeal hath provoked very many. What he said, I have used you as an example of your eagerness and of your generosity and of your liberality in forming a collection to be taken to Jerusalem and given to the saints there who are in a very, very difficult situation. They've lost their homes. They've lost family members, have gone from them because they've become Christians. They could be stoned to death at any time because they're considered blasphemers and heretics. They're in terrible and dire straits. So we need to have an offering to go to these poor saints. And I've been talking and writing rather to other churches, and I've used you for an example of how generous you are, and I don't want to be found wrong. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. That is, what we've encouraged people by your example to do, perhaps you're going to fall below our estimate. That, as I said, you may be ready. Now, the point is, I want you to make this offering, get it together. When I come, if you so desire, I'll accompany it back to Jerusalem for this distribution. Less happily, if they of Macedonia come with me, that is, some people traveling with me, and find you unprepared. Can you imagine the bulletin on Sunday morning before the Macedonians come with him, and in the bulletin it says, oh, by the way, we were supposed to take an offering for the poor saints. I know we haven't done it yet, but we got to do it this morning. Can you imagine the consternation? Oh, I forgot it too. So Paul is saying, look, I want you to do this. I want you to have it ready when I get there. Paul said, I know that if this happened, you'd be ashamed, but Paul said, I would be ashamed too. Notice, we that we say not ye should be ashamed. All of us would be embarrassed if this isn't done in time and done properly and reflects what I have said about you in the past. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty or your blessing for the church at Jerusalem, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. That is, what you receive ought to reflect the bounty of your generosity, rather than being an offering that is given in reluctance because of covetousness. Think about it. I don't want an offering given reluctantly with you thinking about what you could do with what you're giving if you didn't give. You know, we'd plan to take a vacation, so and so and so and so. If I give really what my heart is telling me to give, then we couldn't do that. And I'd rather do what we want to do as to do what I know I need to do and ought to do in order to relieve suffering of those poor saints in Jerusalem, who, after all, shared the gospel with us. Had it not been for them, we would not have heard the gospel and we would not be saved. We wouldn't be a church here today if it hadn't been for Paul. We owe these people a great debt. You don't owe God a thing. If you owe God something for your salvation, then it's of works and not of grace. It is all of grace. That's our salvation. But in giving, it ought not to be reluctantly turned loose of. I remember my first pastorate, I followed a hardshell preacher. And they hadn't taken a mission offering in several years. So on the first business meeting, I asked them about it. They said, no, we haven't taken one in several years. I said, well, let's take one in a Sunday morning service. And they agreed to it. And that Sunday morning, we had our prayer to take the offering. And we're taking two offerings today, one for a general operation, one for missions. One fellow was sitting pretty well down front, and when one of the persons who was taking the offering got before him, he was standing there with the offering plate, and the fellow looked up at him and said, the guy didn't move. He just stood there. And I'm beginning to get a little anxious, sweat a little bit, because there was a lot of division in the church. But he just stood there. The guy said, he just stood there. Finally, he reached his billfold, got a dollar, and put it in it, and the guy went on. That's what Paul said. Don't do your giving like that. That you resent it, you're reluctant, and we'll see how we ought to give in just a few minutes. Not out of covetousness. That is, not because you resent it. But this I say. Now, folks, we're getting to something now that I promise you is in the Word of God. I promise you that this is not prosperity gospel. It's not faith mission work in the sense of, if you bless me, God, I'll give you something. Listen to it. This is God's Word. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You want to know how to give? Give liberally, so that God can repay you liberally, so God can reward you liberally. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Most of you know that I love to raise gardens. And what I reap from a garden depends upon what I sow. I can say I want, in fact, I did sow enough turnips for this entire congregation, perhaps the state of Arkansas. If they all make, I'll let you know about it. But I couldn't just sow two turnip seeds and expect to get enough for Betty to eat and me to eat and our friends to eat and me to give to people in this church who like them. I got to sow bountifully if I expect to reap bountifully. And you say, well, I hadn't given anything to the Lord in years. Well, he's been good to you if you had enough to eat and enough to drink and enough clothes to wear. But you hadn't been good to God, but he's been good to you. Give God a reason for blessing you abundantly and bountifully. Give God a reason. Now, if you've got a bunch of coupons that have been refunded because you bought certain things at the store or whatever, and they give you now, you're getting a Visa card or something because of something you bought, and you get the, don't give those Visa cards to your wife and say, this is your birthday present. You ought to give something that is meaningful, more than the fact, well, if you hadn't got your rebate, you wouldn't have given me anything. Be careful. This is the law of the harvest. We've talked about it. We know about it. But this is true. But notice, every man according as he purposes in his heart. The word purpose here is unusual in this sense. It's not conscience, okay? Conscience is when there's something in you that wants to do evil and something in you that wants to do good, and there's an argument that occurs within you. This is what we call the conflict of the two natures of God's children. This is not that conflict. What it means is a purposeful looking at what you have, the need that needs to be met, and arriving at a fair and equitable offering. Now notice, let every man according as he examines and weighs and counsels his own heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, that is with sorrow, wishing he hadn't given that much, or of necessity, that is if we don't get an offering today, we can't pay the light bill, and everybody's getting their arm twisted, so there'll be enough in the treasury to get to pay the light bill and other bills that we have, especially the pastor's salary. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful here is really a transliteration, just carried over from the original language of the Bible, which was Greek here, which means it's the very word hilarious. Can you imagine what people would think if when we passed the offering and you started giving, you broke out laughing? Cheerfully. It's like arthritic pains or something. Give joyfully. Why? Because you're giving to God for a good purpose. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Statement. That ye, the giver, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In other words, follow this law. He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Because in doing that, you will always be able to meet your needs plus the needs that exist that you can aid in alleviating, in relieving. I know that sounds a little convoluted, but that's what this verse means. Let God bless you because you love to give and you give with joy, so that in blessing you, you'll have enough for your needs and you'll have some left over to give to the needs of others. Then he quotes Scripture, Psalm 112 and 9. Parenthetic statement. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He has been liberal. He hath given to the poor. He has been liberal. His righteousness remaineth forever, because these are righteous acts that righteous people do, and therefore they remain forever. They'll never be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Continuation of this quotation. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. In other words, if I give you seed to sow, you're actually having the product of that seed to use for your bread and for your food. And it multiplies your seed sown, God does, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What he's saying actually is this. Look, use your money not only for yourself, but for the work of God. And God will see to it that in sowing, you are counted as a righteous person because you have done righteous acts. And this will allow you to increase and do more righteous acts. God wants us to be fruitful, and that's what he's talking about here. If you can earn money, and some people have the gift for earning money, some people have a gift for spending money, but if you have a gift for earning money, be liberal with it. God will see that you get more, so that you can, by the giving, have righteous acts accrued to you. And the more you give, the more God will bless, so that the righteous acts can keep on accruing even to a greater degree. Now notice this. Being enriched in everything, made richer, to all bountifulness, that is liberality, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. And what he's saying is, look, you're going to create a lot of prayers of thanksgiving to God Almighty. Because those saints at Jerusalem, when they get this, there's going to be prayers of thanksgiving going up from every poor saint in Jerusalem who didn't know where the next meal was coming from. It's your bountifulness, your liberality, whenever it's sent out or used for whatever purpose, for the glory of God, it's going to cause people to give thanksgiving. And God loves thankful people. It increases the ability of people to look up and say, thank you, God. I know that we have been having some tremendous offerings, and I appreciate so much what you're doing. And there's not hardly a space of time that I don't give God thanks for your liberality. you care for me, you care for Betty and me. Your generosity and liberality is really difficult for me to explain to you and to thank you enough. When I see what our men and women contributed to and the work that's gone here for our infrastructure, our parking lot, our lights, our sound system, our surveillance system that we use for our safety and well-being. When I look at all these things, my heart is filled with thanksgiving for the people who can give and the people who can work and do the multitude of talents and abilities that are in this congregation. I give thanks to God for you. And I'm not looking ahead with foreknowledge, and I'm not talking about predestination. I'm just talking about what I think and believe that when we're in our new auditorium, we won't be down in the aisle, I don't think. Maybe won't have a sick organ. That's the musical instrument. I will be filled with thanksgiving, people. I will be filled with thanksgiving because being enriched in everything to all generosity, which causes through us thanksgiving to God, while by the experiment, I didn't think we were supposed to experiment. Well, this word experiment means the light of day. That is, whenever people can see what you have done by receiving it, they're going to be filled with thanksgiving. And he states, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, that is, our taking this gift to them, they glorify God. And who do they glorify God thinking of? For your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Paul said, this is something new. It's not something that the Jewish synagogues have done. This is something new that people who are Christians care for one another, not because they're commanded by law, not because if they don't, they could be expelled from the synagogue, but because down deep inside themselves, they had decided and taken a liberal outlook on giving because they see all of the results from it, the thankfulness, the things that have occurred, and the fact that the people who receive it, that we've supplied their needs, there's going to be an abundance of thanksgiving, and there's also going to be glorification of what you've done for the liberal distribution unto that congregation and to other circumstances. And then this is a continuation of that thought. And by their prayer for you. You ever thought how wonderful it is that people would pray for you? What are they going to pray for when they receive this bountiful offering from the Corinthian congregation? They're going to pray that God will bless them. They're going to pray thanksgiving prayers. And they say, by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Let me read it again. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. They want to be like you. They want to have this same kind of grace. And then, thanks be unto God for his indescribable love that he's given to us. This experiment, which is exposed to the light, so people can really see how genuine it is, people are going to say, that's wonderful, that's great. Thank you, Corinthians, for your great gift. But let's remember, in all of our thanking and all of our expressions of gratitude, let's just remember that God gave a gift that all the words of the world could never adequately describe.